Well, hello and welcome to Walter Wood Robbins. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi. How's it going?
And welcome to the show, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Kai. It's in June. We're in June now. Yeah. Wow.
June 8th. June 8th.
Really?
It's a fabulous day. Beautiful. We're both here in New York. I just happen to be at my parents' house, and you're in the fancy Acast Studios, which is lovely. Look cozy. Nice little chair. Nice little wood paneling. You look all bundled up. You look like you're having the time of your life.
I am, basically. All my dreams are coming true.
Beautiful. I'm drinking some Dunkin'.
Coffee, lip stuff.
Love it.
What could you ask for? And real bars of Rhode Island. Also, today we have Amazon Live and Crappy Hours. So join us for those a little bit later. But for now, we're on Real Housewives of Rhode Island, Season 1, Episode 11, Stay Home and Carry On.
I know. You know, I was a bit shocked.
Why?
That next week is the season finale. I was really shocked.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. I felt like the energy at the end of this episode was leading up to a cast trip. But I guess since it's first season, it's more of an experiment. So their cast trip was spending that weekend in that mansion in Newport, but you know, but like the way they were all talking about going to Block Island, I was like, okay, they're gonna have a regional cast trip because they're, you know, they're, it's their first season, but it's actually just gonna be the season finale next week. It's shocking.
Yeah, that's so sad. I feel like you're not a Real Housewives show until you embarrass America and some.
Yeah,
I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I also feel like there's like so much stuff happening on the show. I feel like they're escalating in a way where it feels like just having one more episode doesn't feel quite enough. Although I do love a 12 episode season. I'm not complaining about the length of the season, but it just is surprising. It feels like, oh my goodness, there's so much that needs to be addressed and needs to be taken care of and whatnot. You know, I'm shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much there is to be addressed, really. I mean, Rula's husband's cheating on her every week. And then, I mean, I think these crazy ladies will be over it in 2 seconds and then fight again. So, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty good. It's a good 12, but I do need the vacation.
Yeah, I am, we've had a lot of Bravo lately. And so I'm sort of okay for another show, sort of settling up for the season, sort of wrapping up and being done so we can, like... have a little bit more time on our schedule just to relax for a moment.
It can happen anyway. You know, House of the Dragon comes back soon.
Oh, yeah.
That. We've got Love Island, which is on 97 fucking hours a week. Oh, my God. Just make it. They've made out with so many people on that show. I mean, they always make out a lot, but I don't remember it ever being something where they literally just go person to person and every single person makes out, right?
I know that. The premiere was crazy. They just like all made out all together. Let's get this over.
Happened. Like nobody even cares. You know, you all are back to making out with everybody, just blowing out birthday candles like right on the cake.
Yeah. It's just a lot of spit is getting swapped amongst all the people. All those idiots.
2020. How are none of those hot guys making out with each other?
It could happen soon. You never know.
I hope so, because geez, I feel like everything's gotten so much more fluid, except on that show, you know? I mean, they've got more fluids.
But I'm about to say, fluids are not an issue on Love Island.
Yeah, but the fluidity of the people, you know, I could handle more. Okay, so anyway, point is, let's get to some Rhode Island stuff. So there was some controversy last week because I was arguing that the hair tug wasn't really like a hair pull. It was just more of like a threatening, like, oh, you listen to me, Dolly. I could pull your hair, but I'm not really. And I got a lot of letters about that. Okay, you can have it. I mean, look, I'm just saying, like, in the scheme of Housewives, to me, it wasn't the most violent thing I've ever seen. But, you know, I still think you shouldn't touch people. I always said that. But
I remember I watched it the night before. And I saw the hand in the hair, and I was like, and in my mind, I was like, oh, that's bad. Like, don't do that. Like, we know, don't touch the hair. If in a tense moment, don't touch the hair, especially when you just got mad that Joellen had like touched you on the knee in a sort of like reassuring way, like, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. And now you're like, gonna like put your hand in her hair. I don't even remember what I said on the podcast. I never remember what I said, but I do. I seem to remember feeling like the kicking of the chair was actually more problematic for me, because I'm like, now you're basically shoving someone. That is like and you're going to hide behind the fact that your foot was on the wooden leg of the chair, and then that's not, so therefore it's not any sort of physical assault. But like that, I think we all, either way, I don't know. We got some flack for not like dwelling on the hair thing longer, to the point where, you know, someone even said like that we didn't even watch the show, that we didn't even like, actually we just relied purely on the notes. If I knew that was an option for some of these shows, I would have done it. I can assure you all, I'm watching every single one of these shows.
I mean, give me a break. We couldn't do this if we didn't watch it.
Watching.
I mean, we have been on, you know, one thing, we're it's important for us to be honest about what we're doing, right? So when we ended up hiring note takers a couple of years ago, we're very honest about it. We're not going to be like, oh, we're still doing all, you know, 20 pages of notes by ourselves. We did that for 13 years, but now we have people that take the notes. But that doesn't mean we don't watch the shows, and that's kind of a ridiculous allegation. Yeah. I mean, look, if we miss things sometimes, which we do, or we get things wrong sometimes, which we do, it's not because we're lazy, it's because we're old.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said for that.
And people forget how much we also mess things up when we were taking our own notes. Okay. Like, and I can't remember shit from this morning. Okay. So sometimes, like, also it's possible, so, like, once in a while I'm watching a TV show and my eyes look elsewhere in the room, and then I return my eyes to the TV. It can last all of like 2 seconds. And it's like the moment I do that, it's like I've missed some important thing about how someone's fingers were in someone's hair. And then it's like, oh my God, like I looked away, but I did actually see the fingers in the hair. But
yeah.
I was like,
I mean, look, we went to dinner the other night, and if Ben told you what happened at dinner and I told you what happened at dinner, they would be two completely different stories, and we would both stand by them. That's how memory works. I don't know what to tell you, but I do remember the hair pull. I did watch the hair pull, and I still remember the hair pull not being that big of a deal. Sorry, but we hear you. I just wanted to answer you.
I think that
you fucking slam pig. You are watching the shows.
You are watching it. I was like really upset by that. I'm not gonna lie. I was really, really offended. But I will say this though. There are some things where you watch it and you're like, whoa, what was that? And you like, I'll rewind and watch it again and be like, oh, upon second viewing this or that, whatever, da, 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 da. And I did feel like when I watched it, when we were accused of this, I of course went back and looked at the scene, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because in my memory, she had sort of put her finger in there and she was like touching the hair. And then looking back, she had sort of actually kind of like put her fingers in and kind of clawed down. It was like a little bit more than just touching the hair, a little bit less than tugging, but it was something. But the point was that I didn't go back the first time around. I just saw the hand of the hair and I just kept going forward with the show. And that's what I based my experience off of.
Slow, gentle.
It was like a...
I took it as a very threatening, like, listen, you know, I could grab you. I could pull your hair. But listen here, Dolly. Listen here, Dolly. It was very threatening, you know.
Well, she is scary.
But
and she hates that about herself. And she's trying so hard to not be scary. It's almost like she came onto the show to finally put to bed all the rumors that she's scary. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna go on to reality TV and everyone's gonna see I'm a nice person. I'm sick of, like, for 20 years in Rhode Island, people say I'm scary. I'm not scary. I'm gonna go on to Rhode Island. I'm gonna be on Bravo TV. People say I'm a sweetheart. And she goes onto the show and everyone's like, damn.
You're terrifying.
She's scary.
Nightmare Before Christmas. Where Jack Skeleton or whatever wants to be Santa Claus, because Santa Claus, everybody loves Santa Claus, and he's so happy, and she just wants to be, he wants to be Santa Claus, so he goes to Santa Claus World and scares the shit out of everybody and ruins Christmas because he's terrifying. Just be happy being mayor of Scary Town is what
it's an asset, really.
Yeah, no one wants to see a shark with a bow in its hair, you know? We want to see the shark ripping off legs. Like, there would be no Shark Week if sharks could hug.
No, exactly. It's also like, honestly, hypocritical. I do feel like, regardless of where we land on what the hair looked like, and I'm sure there'll be people be like, well, you don't have long hair. You don't understand the way that the hand and the hair, it feels much worse than it looked at. Regardless of any of that, what I will say is that if Joellen did the exact same thing to what's-her-face's hair, then I guarantee that Liz would have flipped the fuck out. Because again, Liz,
she'd be
dead and done. Because Liz was already upset when Joellen touched her to be like, please share with me. And she was already mad about the touching there. So if Joellen even touched Liz's hair,
I think you're completely right. And I meet people where they're at. You know what I mean? And it should be unfair for different people to have different rules, right? Like the rules should be the same for everybody, but they're just not. I mean, look at the court system. It's just not the same for everybody. We all know that. And I think that when you have a defendant like Liz, you know, if I was Liz's lawyer and I was defending this in court, I would say, but look at what she could have done. She's terrifying. She's probably connected to the mafia. She's got a blue tongue still from all these damn guns she's been testing. She probably killed somebody. I mean, let's face it. This woman has probably taken that fishing boat out and dumped bodies into the Sound or whatever. So
totally.
Think about what she could have done. And this wasn't that big of a deal.
The crux for those who need like a summary, Ronnie's basically saying, look, Liz could have like murdered her. So I think this is not so bad.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
It's either death or a hair pull, and you get to choose which way you want it to be.
Team Liz, because I also think that, I'm not really Team Liz, because look, you should never put your hands on anybody or kick their chair. Also, I'm Team Chair as a person who's in the restaurant service industry for so long. I don't believe in people manhandling chairs or moving things around in a restaurant. I don't like that either. But, you know, she could have been a lot worse. Okay. And also, I think that Joellen is an instigator. I think Joellen's really getting off easy with the audience. When somebody walks away from you in an argument and then walks away again and then walks away again and then walks away again, you know, Joellen really is getting up in her face over and over with her shaky head and doing all of this stuff. She's instigating in a lot of ways that I think people aren't catching on to yet, because she's really framed herself as a victim. Like even in this show, she's like, well, I guess I'll just sweep it under the rug, just like I had to do when I was a child. I was like, all right, now you're bringing your childhood trauma into it. So Joellen's not as innocent as she's getting off, I think.
I think I'm going to be Team Chair also, because the truth is I'm definitely not Team Liz in this. And I don't know how people got that impression of me last week. And I'm not trying to revise to make people happy. Like, I was not Team Liz. I think
that was one where you got swept up in the Ronnie of it all.
Well, I'm happy to be swept up with the Ronnie of it all. But I think I probably said something along the lines of like, I understood why Liz was frustrated with Joellen, because she just wanted some peace. She just needed to like come down. She wanted to be advocated for. But I think that ultimately, like, Liz needed to drop it. It was a stupid point that she was dying on the cross for, and it was a stupid point. And then she was immature in how she handled it afterwards. She was very passive aggressive and crazy. I 100% also think that Joellen should have not gone after her. She was so determined to try to like make things all right and okay. And like, if you wanted to do right by Liz, your opportunity was in the car when you could have said, look, Liz, look, Alicia, I don't think Liz means it in this way. Now, I'm not standing up for what Liz was saying or doing. I'm saying like that would have been Joellen's moment to be more of the hero if she wanted to be a hero. But I think she should have stayed back. So I think Joellen did contribute to it. I think Liz was the greater offender. And that's why ultimately I have to be Team Chair, because I really don't think I want to be on either of their sides. So I'll be on the side of the chair that remained surprisingly upright, despite the fact that it was kicked aggressively by Liz. I was like, the fact that didn't topple over says that chair was made well. And I have to give kudos to it. So Team Chair today.
If the fake Frank Sinatra's voice was as stable as that chair, he would be sold out every show.
The fact that chair just slid.
Sinatra concert. That was the worst part of that show. I would have pulled your hair. If I was in that show, I would have just started pulling random people's hair, because that was crazy.
Can we be Team Floor too? Because that chair would not have slid if it weren't for that floor too. If it had been carpet, good luck. Joellen's down on the ground, but like it slid just so nicely. I was like, this was a team effort between floor and chair. Good job, both of you guys.
Yeah, good job, guys.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Okay, so Liz and Joellen have just had a blow up at one of those tables that's right on the curb of the street. And Joellen sticks up for herself, and Liz is like, fuck you, die. I hope you die. I hope ducks come into your house and eat your eyes out, bitch. And so she gets up and leaves, and she's parked right in front, and then rolls down her window, and she's like, you jackass. She leaves. So she leaves, and Joellen's like, dickhead? Okay.
Great. So she merely calls Alicia. And she's like, what happened? And she's like, well, I didn't go so great, Alicia. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Okay, she told me that I'm delusional for thinking that she and I are best friends or even friends. So she just kept like going on and on and on. And like she was going like, yeah, I know. I know how fake you are. And like she's like, oh, you're trying to ruin people. And I'm like, you sound psycho. And Joellen's telling us that Liz does what she wants. And then she's very unapologetically herself as she is. She goes, but I'm just not as cruel. You know, it's still season one. So far, she has not presented as cruel so far. But we'll see.
She's sneakier about it, which I think is Liz's point. You know, Joellen's doing this whole, like, your husband's cheating. Okay, now I'm going to have somebody follow you around. Like, nobody's questioning, wait a minute, how does Joellen have footage? Like, Joellen literally has somebody following somebody around to get, like, secret footage in... That's just crazy behavior. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody's really questioning any of that. I mean, Rula's, look, I think at some point when you're with a pig and your friends are like, your husband's a pig, I saw him cheating on you. And she's like, well, I don't care, I'm staying with him. That's it.
Yeah.
You
know,
at the point where you just have to keep reminding them that they made a bad decision every day, I mean, they know. You know?
I think that like Joellen is dogged. I'm not saying she's a dog. Saying she's dogged. I think she is very concerned with making sure that people have like know that she's not crazy. So she's like determined to make Rula see like, I'm not the bad guy here. I'm actually doing a service for you. And now she's determined to try to tell Liz, like, I'm not the bad guy. I was just consoling a friend. I was consoling Alicia. Like she is like, she gets very wrapped up in trying to have people see her the way she wants to be seen. And I think it's a little different than saying she's not trying to be friends to everyone. I don't think, because that's what Liz said. Liz said she's being fake. She's trying to be friends to everyone. I think it's more like Joellen has a perception of herself, and she, when people are not seeing that perception of her, she like loses it. She's like, no, this is who I am. And it's probably all does stem back from the fact that her mom sent her off to like the state system when she was like a tween. And she probably like lives with that now. And like all these moments are just like relitigations of childhood trauma brought on by her mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, yeah.
The best kind, quite frankly.
Joellen runs around saying the whole season, like, I'm such a bitch. Like, I'm the biggest bitch in town, and everybody knows it. Nobody better mess with me. But then if anybody suggests she is, she's like, how dare you?
Well, I think she's...
I'm going to follow my friend around so that I can prove that I'm not a crazy bee.
I don't think that she's determined to say that she's a nice person. I think she's just more like when she does something nice, she wants to get the credit for doing something nice. And when someone's like, yeah, you're still a bitch though, she's like, no, but I just did something nice. I'm a bitch. I just did my nice thing.
I get it, because I don't do that many nice things. And I like, I'll give like a homeless person a fiver and I'll want a receipt. Look, I need to show this to people.
No one I did this.
Could you just record something into my phone? Say thank you.
Thank you, note.
Thank you, Roddy. You deserved that Tony last night. Sorry you didn't get it. Thank you. It was worth the $5. So she's like, Joanne's like, yeah, you know what? Liz is unapologetic. And she just kept on saying what an awful human being I was. And I'm disloyal and ingenuous. And I don't know why it affects me so much. I just need to suck it up. But you know, like, I guess it's like, I'll just sweep it under the rug. Like, it's not like woe is me. It's just like when my mother abused me in that girl interrupted place. It's just like that, but it's not like that. I mean, I don't want to be a victim, but it's just like what my mother did to me.
So Alicia's like, well, you, Joellen's like, oh, and I didn't stick up for you enough. You were wrong. Apparently that's what I did wrong. I didn't stick up enough. And Alicia says, well, you were just like, you are like a support of which like any person, normal person would do. It was like, it's like fucking insane. And I thought that like you did nothing wrong. Like Liz, I thought she was like family to me. And like, so that's like what kills me too. Like out of respect for my family, she should have never questioned me, never attacked me, never like talked to me like that. And like, you know, like I love her. And like, that's why Flip Flop is like with me, is that like, she's like fucking mean. That's that. Huh?
And Joellen's like, oh my God, it's like so awkward. It's going to be so awkward at the next group event. She's like, I feel really bad because I'm going to keep telling you, you know, you did nothing wrong, honestly. Like, I want you to be okay. All right, bye. Bye.
You did nothing wrong. Bye. Okay, hold on. I got to drive over a small bridge over a culvert. Okay, bye. It's scary.
I'm sweating. So now we go to Rhode Island Foot Care. I cannot be the only person in this country who got a boner.
I know.
What a stud. The guy, the foot care, Botox, and testosterone clinic all rolled into one. Oh,
I'll tell you, when I saw that single story brick building with the decrepit signs swinging like from one corner, the other chain hanging the other corner,
yeah,
dangled, and like the slow drips of water from the gutters, you know, from the I was like, wow, this is where I'm gonna go to get everything done. This is the place.
Yeah. So Rula comes in and she's like, hello ladies, I'm here to see my husband. It's me, Glamorous Rula. Is he in?
I, of course, got a flashback. This is a deep cut, but I know you'll get it. I got a flashback to Gail of Secrets and Wives, who was married to the plastic surgeon who would come in and she made all the women at the office wear blazers because she didn't want them looking too hot.
They're like, oh, the wife is here again. It's like the wife comes in one time a year and acts like she's the president and makes everybody change their uniforms. And why aren't the plants watered?
Yeah, you know, they can't stand it. So Rula comes in. You know, I feel like they probably don't get mad when Rula comes by because Rula is so low energy that they probably don't even notice that she's there. They just think it's the vacuum coming around.
I know. Someone just walks up to Rula and like pulls at her elbow. She's like, what are you doing? Oh, we thought you were the water cooler. I'm so sorry. Talk to your wives here.
Oh, we thought someone was moving the fake plant across the room. It's you, Rula.
The plant is walking. She's like, oh, it's just me. Rula.
You guys, I never thought the day would come. The phone came alive. Watch out. Yeah, well, I don't know why I'm making the receptionist talk like Rula also. They're just all Rulas in there.
They're all mini Rulas in there. I believe he's not cheating. I believe he's not cheating as well. 11 o'clock, you're up. He's not cheating. So this whole episode, Rula and Brian are trying to pretend they're this like happy couple, and it's really funny. Yeah. She's trying to do this like young lover energy. She's like, hey baby, so good to be back at your place. I haven't been here in so long. I brought you some goodies. Ooh, fun Rula.
Fun Rula is here, everyone. Can you check my toe? He goes, your gimp toe? Let's do it. So in the middle of this, guys, here's a good story.
From their foot doctor.
I know.
Next gimp.
I know. So guys, I know we haven't seen a lot of Rula this season, but the good news is she always has a good story when she comes back. Guys, in the middle of the summer, my toe caught the lip of the vanity in the guest house and just lifted my toenail. And I was just about to go jump on a Zoom call, and I was like, ah.
I hate sitting in this chair because I never know what's going to happen. Thanks for squeezing me in today, my love.
He goes, well, of course, you sleep with me, you know, huh? Look at that. Loving husband banter. So she says,
which explains why the waiting room is full of blonde women.
You know what, guys? I know you wanted to follow up on my first story because it was so good. He numbed my toe with Novocaine, and then he removed the toenail. I didn't even feel it. But I was more distraught at the fact that here we are in the summer, and there goes my pedicure. The end.
It's nice to see when they tie up storylines.
I mean, can you believe I'm sitting here saying it didn't feel like we're going into the season finale, and look at this.
He's like, so what happened to your gimp toe? Did you hit it again? And she's like, no, I didn't hit it. I just want it to look better. So maybe you could put some of that oil or something on it so it could look better. What? You're here to get oil on your toe?
Yeah.
Really? There are people that are dying, Kim. Okay. At least ask for an implant or something, or glue on like a press on.
Give it a weave. What'd you say?
Give it a breast implant.
It's just going to be in a whole other Real Housewife down on her toe. Little hair, boobs.
Hey! So, doctor from Shoals asks, what's going on with the lady that's down on your toe? Does she have new boobs?
We'd like to welcome the newest housewife, Rula's Toe. Rula's Toe, did you get a new boob?
This whole scene made me so uncomfortable, the whole toenail thing, because it was giving me vivid flashbacks to Kristen Takeman's toenail when she went on Girls Trip. And I was so grateful that they did not do it like a close-up. I was just like dreading. I'm sitting here like uncomfortable. But luckily, Rula says, you know, I was thinking this summer flew by and we haven't had a party yet. So why don't we throw a party? Because we haven't had one. I just like the way... You know, I was thinking we haven't had a party, so we should have a party because we haven't had a party. I love redundancy.
Do it at the end of the summer because it's the end of the summer. Should we have an end of the summer party at the end of the summer?
Because we haven't had a party yet. It's like what I've heard about from writers who are writing shows for Netflix is that like every 15 minutes, they have to like reiterate what's going on in the episode. Because I guess people aren't paying attention anymore. They're like, they're distracted with their phones. And that's what Rula is doing. She's basically like, she's like a streamer. She's like, because we haven't had a party. So let's have a party. You know, it's like, what about, I don't know, you're Lebanese. How about a hookah party? Arabian Nights? Because we haven't had a party this summer. So we should have a party this summer. It'll be called Arabian Nights.
Like Arabian Nights. Yeah, this cast isn't problematic enough.
You know what I could do? I could finally wear my dress that's a strobe light.
It was really weird. She's like, I can finally wear my little girl in a dance recital wings.
It was so funny because we're going to get to it, but that entire scene, her dress was flashing.
I know. Like, she's cheating on you and she's got like this flashing pair of wing, this wing robe. she's like, yeah, that would be fun because it's the end of the summer. Remember how New Year's, we had that New Year's party on New Year's?
And yeah,
belly dancer there. Remember her?
Yeah. Yeah.
She shows back up. She's pregnant. It's like, how many?
So she goes, we always have wet and wild parties in the summer because it's the summer. So we've had your bye-bye to summer party, and we have an annual New Year's Eve party. Now, it may sound like I just repeated what I just said, but actually, I'm just saying it again in case you didn't hear it the first time. Anyway, we're going to have a party.
He's like, I could rock a vest with no pants and no shirt on. I'll be like Aladdin. He's like, oh, God, you better work on that six-pack. Ha-ha.
I'm almost there. I got a four-pack. Oh, God. The Arabian Nights reflects my culture. Like, we'll have some belly dancing and the cuisine. We'll have Arabian attire. I might bring a camel, but I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I like to plan, and this is short notice. Yeah.
So we could invite the ladies from the group with one minor exception. We can't have Joelle in there. You know, I've gone into everything with great intentions, but every time we blink, Joelle is stirring the pot. It's like she makes a point of it. And I don't want the party to be that way. I want the party to be Arabian Nights at the end of the summer. Because it's the end of the summer.
Arabian Nights, like Arabian Days, right? And so Brian is like, yeah, I don't want that at my house. No, I really have such a good heart that a part of me feels bad. Because even despite all the bad that's been done towards my family, yet I believe in energy. And I can't have bad energy at my house when I have a party. Because it's the end of the summer, because we haven't had a party yet, and it'll be Arabian Nights.
There's a greater probability of a genie popping out of my party than Joelle and being allowed to step foot in my backyard. No pun intended.
Joelle and Gary on the blacklist, and then everybody else. I hate to say it, but it had to happen for the party at the end of the summer.
He's like, well, our police detail and security at this big Arabian Nights party in the backyard. So if shit's going to go down, they'll get tossed.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to Ashley's house, and she's like a big family scene. Her parents are over and stuff, and there's kids running around. And she's like, I'm sorry I'm making tacos tonight, babe. It's just I really love the Taco Bell seasoning packet.
Oh. Okay, ma'am, save it for your Instagram. Stop trying to influence us right now. This is like a blatant like deal she had with Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It's like
tacos? Why are you trying to make it look like I dislike tacos? Why are you apologizing for tacos? You look stupid on TV, babe.
They have such an uncomfortable relationship. I just feel so uncomfortable around them. I feel like she's always trying to like appease him or mollify him in some way, or like if she anticipates that a moment might get tense, she's going to try to like calm it down. It like makes me deeply, deeply uncomfortable. And it's what's worse is that they're both so uninteresting to me, and yet I feel tension. Like I don't want to feel tension between uninteresting people. Be interesting people that I can feel the tension between, you know?
Oh yeah. I get that they're uninteresting people. I don't feel tense around them at all. But you really? Know, I knew them from the Bachelor days from watching that show. So it's just always been like this. He's just like really depressed, and then she cries a lot over nothing. And he didn't really want to be with her, but she really wanted him to. It's the same dynamic. It's just going to go on forever.
The energy she gives me is that like, oh no, this is all about to fall apart. Like, oh God, got to make sure he's okay because he's about to leave me.
He is going to leave one day.
Because I mean, obviously.
Jared's a guy that's like clearly not into her, you know, but Jared's one of those guys. In his defense, he's not into anybody or anything. He's just like, he's like the sad cloud from the depression commercial.
Yeah. I think that Ashley could do so much better. You know, like I don't love her on this show, but she seems very nice, and she seems like I feel like she just wants more from life, and that she is trying, she's like dumbing herself down. And so she's talking about his eating habits, and she's like, Jared isn't like a picky eater, he's just a basic eater. And then he's like, this can opener is not working, which by the way, already like we spent a lot of time last week talking about why Audrey's really feels like a failure to us just based on decor. But now we have the proprietor who does not eat food and he doesn't know how to use a can opener. I'm sorry. I'm never going to that coffee shop.
There really are so many layers happening in this scene right now. Okay, so let me just go through these lines exactly because they're so funny. I don't dislike tacos. Well, I mean, what's going to be easy for all of us to have? He's like, tacos are great. Well, I mean, except for Dawson, who will probably have macaroni and cheese. Yeah, I'll have macaroni and cheese too. Well, then what the fuck are you sitting here arguing that you like tacos the whole time? Are you worried about the taco coalition coming after you? You don't like a taco? Jared, just have an opinion, Jared. And then he's like, yeah, this can opener doesn't work. So he takes a steak knife and cuts into the can. Who does that, first of all? And second of all, you're giving your children broken off shards of metal. It doesn't
You're fucking up your knife. Everything. It was so bad, and everyone just didn't. No one even jumped in to say, "Oh, here's how we can fix this situation." How does the can opener not work? How does that happen?
I don't know. If you have an electric one, you got to have a backup. We all know
100%.
So she's like, "Well, I'm a foodie," which also I don't believe.
No, and she's like a foodie the way Jonathan Chabon or whatever his name is, not Jonathan Chabon, whatever, you know, the guy who calls himself food god. That's, I think, how she's probably a foodie.
She's like, I'm seriously on my way to go to new restaurants. That's not a foodie. Like trying out the newest Chili's location doesn't make you a foodie. Like, and like, because what I see on their Instagram pages, and Jared's just like, no, we'll just go like to the same restaurants for the sake of nostalgia. Meanwhile, she's opening a plain can of refried beans for him to eat.
Meanwhile, she opened the scene saying, guys, I'm making tacos because I just love the Taco Bell seasoning packets.
Yeah. So the dad's like, you're making me a little nervous with that knife there. He's like, I know, but don't worry. I got a handle on it.
And then the dad's like, so you don't have a can opener? Ashley goes, Jared's not a foodie. He's just bland. I mean, I do feel for her. I mean, I have a hard time imagining that Ashley is truly a foodie the way she says she is. But I do have to imagine that she probably wants to try new places and he just will not do it. And that's got to be very aggravating.
She just wants to go anywhere with her husband.
That's not Audrey's.
That's not Audrey's, exactly. So Audrey's. He's slicing a tomato and the husband's like, well, you're very good at slicing. Poor Jared. Poor Jared. Everybody following around Jared. Like, look, let's let Jared open the can. Okay, he's using a serrated knife. Okay, well, Jared, while he can slice the tomato, you're doing good at slicing. It's like the most basic thing in the world. And like, I mean, I do this every day. I guess I should be using a bigger knife. And she goes, well, I hate telling you this, but it's not like sandwich slicing for tomatoes. We need like diced tomatoes. It's going to be Mexican food, okay?
This is a restaurant proprietor who is preparing tomatoes for tacos by slicing them in giant rounds. It's like, you know, those are not the shells, right? I mean,
hey, I'm a restaurant owner. You want diced? I can do diced. Yeah, Jared.
And he goes, it takes 2 seconds. It's not a big deal. Okay, well, that's fine. We're not questioning whether it's a big deal. If it weren't a big deal, then why are you getting huffy right now? Just dice it. Don't be an idiot.
All right, well, what's up with Audrey's? You lease up or what? When is this over? And he's like, well, it's fall, winter, fall, spring, summer, joggers.
He's like, yeah, I mean, I have such mixed feelings about Audrey's lease ending, but I feel like I don't want to give it up, you know? But it's just like all that stuff. And Ashley is saying she has mixed feelings too. And she doesn't want him to give up Audrey's, but, it would also be like, long-term, it would be good. He just would be sad if he did it. And Jared's pretending like he's considering giving it up, but he has no intention. He's going, yeah. I don't know. There's pros and cons. I mean, what I love so much about Audrey's is, I don't know, it's hard to talk about it, obviously. And so she goes, oh, he's going to cry, guys. And he's like, no, I'm not going to cry.
She's like, oh, okay. He's like, isn't in this household, you always have to be ready for someone to cry because she's crying every 5 minutes. Oh my God, you guys, did you see him working on that tomato? He's gonna cry. I'm not crying, honey. Okay. Back to normal. And the mom's like, well, maybe if Audrey's was smaller, like it's huge. Why does it need to be?
Thank you, mom. Like,
it is big. But you know, look, Audrey's has taught me a lot. And I do think Audrey's has been successful in so many different areas. Steven, your chai is up. A long way. I bring it home with me.
Ashley goes, even if you close it at a year, it was a success, which is not true. And she says, the lease is up in September, but Jared wants to ask to extend it a little bit because he has like all these reservations for after parties that he doesn't want to leave them high and dry for their wedding. Okay, fine. It's an after party. It's not the reception. He doesn't want to end the lease. He obviously does not. He's probably.
And you want the after party at a coffee shop in a strip mall? We're not getting married.
Yeah, there's that too. Thank you. I think that he basically wants to hang around long enough to see if the show is going to give Audrey's a boost. And I'd be interested to see if it does.
Yeah, it probably does. I mean, shit, if you know you get to see Jared every day.
Then I probably wouldn't go.
I would, just to see those cheekbones and that jawline. That's crazy. It's like cartoon level. I want to go see if it's real. I want to be like, could you cut a tomato?
Hello, do you guys serve tacos? And I have this can. Could you open it for me, please? Thank you.
Exactly. So Ashley's like, sell it or just close it. And he's like, close it. Oh, the dad's like, close it. And Ashley's like, well, I'm never going to give him that ultimatum, okay? I mean, and he says it sucks, but the most beneficial thing would be to close it. But I don't want that. I'm trying to think of the best decision for Ashley and I and as a couple. And as a family.
Oh, I just realized what that decision is. Ashley, I'm leaving you. Okay, everyone. Enjoy your tacos. I'm going back to Audrey's.
So she's like, well, I mean, if it was making you happy and the money was there and you felt like you were providing, of course I'd let you keep it. And he's like, well, the problem is I could do something different that I could be making more money. But Audrey's is becoming more successful and it's fulfilling. And we're finding a decent work-life balance. Like you do all of the life stuff and I stay at work.
He's like, yeah, I don't want to sell it. So then the baby just starts screaming. He's like, okay. Yeah, Audrey's, I think he is happy to have a reason not to be around Ashley. And I think he is, Yeah, he is not interested in anything else. So yeah. Now we go to the Rhode Island State House, which is this big, gorgeous Capitol building, and Dolores and Liz enter. And Liz like, this is so exciting. And Dolores like, it really is. You know what? This could not be more beautiful. Wow. What a beautiful state house. Look at all the marble staircases, banisters. Ugh, could not be more beautiful.
The noble architecture, the columns and the floor. I mean, it really is just beautiful.
So they go in and they're talking to the state representative about menopause.
And Dolores is starstruck. It's the senator and the state representative. And Dolores goes, I'm starstruck right now. It's like Lori and Karen. She's like, oh my God, starstruck. So they have a nice little meeting. They're talking about how menopause, Rhode Island's the first state to make women going through menopause a protected class, which is awesome. And they start talking about it and how it's so not fair that, you know, women have to undergo, you know, the physical duress of menopause, and there's just like, you know, their jobs often suffer for it. So they talk about that for a while.
Dolores is like, I mean, women who go through menopause, I mean, we deserve a parade. Am I right? I would love a parade for menopausal women. Air conditioned, preferably inside. All right. Well, we could maybe sit down every couple of, it's very difficult.
Get Gerald there from Rhode Island. I'm from Atlanta. He can just have like put all of his air conditioners on like a flatbed and just drive through Providence. You know?
Yeah. About how this law protects women with menopause in the workplace. And Dolores is like, we need to do more about menopause. More people need to know about it. I mean, it's insane. Like, men literally don't know what menopause is, which I think is actually true.
Yeah.
And they're saying, yeah, I mean, they're talking about how they had to explain this to all the politicians because it's mostly men. And they're like, well, this is how menopause affects people. And the guys are like, what? You get hot? You sweat? Your body changes? You stop having your period? Nobody told me about this. No idea. Yeah, you know what? Who told you about this? Every woman who's ever been on the earth, you fucking jackasses. You just never listen.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's just shocking how they're like, whoa, really? I didn't know. I thought menopause meant that you were taking a pause from sleeping with men. Whoa.
Yikes. So, Liz, they really do talk about menopause for a very long time. So then Liz is like, well, Dolores and I are developing a product utilizing the cannabis plant components towards menopause. So thank you very much. Let me just tell you before I go, you better try this menopause product, Dolly. You better try it. It's looking good for you.
She's like, what? Is that woman pulling my fucking hair? Liz, did you just kick the senator's chair?
You were never homeless.
By the way, we actually got a message from someone who does social work. And actually, based on Alicia's lived experience, she says that actually does qualify as homelessness. So just letting everyone know. A little moment of edification.
Yeah, for all the Liz heads out there. So Alicia,
it's really for the Alicia heads, I think. Or is it to educate the Liz heads?
To educate the Liz heads. You're like, I'm not homeless. I'll tell you what homeless is. All the people standing at the gates of homelessness to be like, this is what's homeless and this is what's not homeless.
Yeah, the very kind person who works in that field was like, yeah, it all counts.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.